I want to encourage you, and I'm not going to preach for an hour. We really want you guys to be a part of what's going on Sunday. I know some of you are here Sunday, and there's a lot of you don't get to come on Sunday. And so we want to share with you what's going on. And just in January, we just kind of use this time to try to creatively, hopefully with humor, we hope it's funny, just share what's going on and how you can be a part. I mean, one thing about this journey of walking with Christ is, you know, we talk about the Big Five. The Big Five is not something that we came up with at Hillview Heights Church. I hope you know that. But it's the basics of what the Bible teaches about how the church functioned. And when you miss out even on one part of how the church functions, you miss out on all that God has for you. And so we wanted to, in some kind of creative way, share with you that Bible study isn't just sitting in a class, but it's in the Bible studies, especially at a church this size, that you get to plug in. That you get to meet other people. You go through tough times. I mean, you heard the tough time that Ephel went through. Anybody catch that? And my wife says, you know, people don't get your humor. So that's okay. But we go through tough times, and it's in those kind of groups in Bible study that we get to serve together. We get to minister to each other. You know, the Bible says some 150 some times to love one another. You know, and it's one of the ways that we get to do that. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, you all know this story. We've preached this several times on Wednesday nights. You know the story. Some guys come and they're bringing a paralytic. And Jesus is in the house teaching. And you know the deal. There's all kinds of people there. They couldn't even get in to see Jesus. And these guys are bringing this paralytic to Jesus because they know the only hope this guy has is if he can see the Savior. And if Jesus will reach out to him, Jesus will touch him, if Jesus would heal him. And so the story goes, and it's really one of those tough stories because we tell the story in church and we all say, oh, that's so nice. They broke through the roof and they dropped the guy down. That is so great. And I always say when I preach this passage, it's great because it wasn't your house, right? We all think it's great. I mean, somebody, you know, somewhere was a homeowner saying, what is going on? You know, and they drop the guy down. And I want to pick up this part of the story in Mark 2, chapter 2, verse 6. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there. I mean, they're there. They're in this place. Why? Because they're intrigued about Jesus. These guys who are skeptics, these guys who might have publicly said Jesus is no Messiah, they're there in this place where Jesus is because they want to see what's going on. They want to check out this guy named Jesus. No doubt this past Sunday, no doubt tonight, there are skeptics that are here. And I'll tell you, I can't think of a better church to come and check out if you're a skeptic. Because one thing you learn about this church, we believe if you have a relationship with Jesus, there ought to be a lot of laughter in your life. And we have a lot of fun. Not a lot of churches will let a great looking guy throw Twinkies out to the crowd, and we do that here. You know why? Because we believe that there is joy in following Jesus. And these skeptics are sitting there. And the Bible says these teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fella talk like that? He's blaspheming. Here's the deal. They lower the guy in. And there he is before Jesus, and there's this house full of people, and they're all watching. And Jesus says to this guy, to this paralyzed man, he looks at him and he says, son, what's he say? You may know. You know what? That's what we all thought. I mean, they drop a paralyzed guy down. You know, somebody throw Jesus a bone. There's something we want to see happen. They dropped the guy down. They brought him from who knows how far away. They brought him. They've broken a hole in somebody's house, in their roof. And they've dropped this guy down. And Jesus says, with everybody sitting there, son, your sins are forgiven. And then the Bible says the teachers of the law are sitting there thinking to themselves. Notice, thinking to themselves. They didn't say it. Why does he talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God? Now listen, I love this. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, have you ever had a thought that you didn't speak and Jesus addressed it? It's kind of a scary moment, isn't it? When you think to yourself, Lord, I just don't think you can do this, and you hear the Lord say, I'm about to do this. I'm going to do this. Or maybe God sends somebody to answer the thought that you didn't speak. I don't think you can do this, Lord. And somebody comes and says, I tell you, the Lord's going to do it, isn't he? And you're going, what did he tell you exactly? Immediately, Jesus knew what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Has Jesus ever said that to you? Why are you thinking these things? I mean, think about the thoughts that we have. Think about the thoughts that we have. Lord, there's no way you can show up in this situation and make anything good come out of it. And Jesus says, why are you thinking these things? And some of you, you're here tonight and you're discouraged. I mean, look at what's going on in our country. I mean, people are hurting. And people have these thoughts, what is going to happen? What is going to happen in this time? Is God going to be able to do anything? And Jesus says, why are you thinking these things? And then he says this, and I love this, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Now let me ask you that, because I've never thought about it like this. Which of those things is easier to say? Yeah, your sins are forgiven. I mean, that's the easiest thing to say, all right? If you put me on the spot as a pastor and there's somebody there that needs a healing, right? And the easiest thing I say is, your sins are forgiven. And walk away like I've done a holy thing, right? I mean, that's the easiest thing, it seems like. And I think they're calling him on it. You know, they're like, there's no way. I mean, how's this going to happen? Jesus said, "What is it? Which is easier to say?" And he's asking him that question. Your sins are forgiven, or get up, take your mat and walk. And then Jesus says and does this next thing that is so powerful. And he does eventually what everybody wanted him to do anyway. I mean, how many people were seriously concerned about the sins of the paralytic? How many? How many of you have seen the movie Leap of Faith with Steve Martin? It's an older, raise your hand. I got to know who's seen it. Okay. I don't remember everything. Maybe you shouldn't see it. But anyway, I did see it. And it's just really making fun of Christianity, of preachers, especially of TV preachers. And Steve Martin plays this televangelist kind of a guy. And there's this scene where he develops a relationship with this woman and her son. And the son has some kind of disease, and he's got his crutches. And towards the very end of the movie, Steve Martin's down there and he's healing people. And of course, it's people that he's paid to come in limping and come in sick, you know. And then that little boy comes up to him. And Steve Martin just stops, because he knows there's nothing he can do for this kid. And he just turns and he walks away and goes off the stage. And everybody just stops and everybody's watching. And one thing Steve Martin had is he had this big statue of Jesus. And a little boy makes his way to that statue. And he drops his crutches and he reaches up and he touches it. And he gets healed. I am certain that Hollywood never intended to teach us anything about Jesus in that movie. But the whole idea was, you know, that Jesus can heal. That he is a healer. But what happens in this passage, and I want to share this with you, and I really want you to grasp this tonight, because I think it's hard for all of us to grasp this. Because what I would have been waiting on in that moment is for somebody to get up and walk. That's what I would have been waiting on. That's what I would have wanted to see. And I will shamefully admit to you that had I been in that house and been there, and Jesus points to the man and says, your sins are forgiven, I have to tell you, I'd probably went, oh. I mean, that's good. I mean, yeah. Yeah, your sins are forgiven. Yeah, that's a good thing, you know. But I'm disappointed, because I want to see the guy get up. I want to see him walk. I want to see him run around the house. That's what I wanted to see. And it's no doubt what the crowd wanted to see. And the teachers of the law, they didn't think he was even capable of that. So in their minds, they call him out, because he said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus is teaching us something here in Mark chapter 2.
And he's teaching us that he is a healer. And that by far, the most important healing that takes place in any of our lives is the healing of what sin has done to us. And because Jesus came to the earth and lived as a man and died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, we can be healed of the disease of sin. And it was by far the greatest thing that Jesus could have done for the paralytic is to say, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But listen to what happens next. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And the Bible says he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And so we learn something. I mean, no doubt, there are those times when a miracle occurs and God heals somebody physically. I mean, how many of you know somebody? I mean, that God healed them. Raise your hand. Let's see. But Jesus is teaching us in this moment that by far the greatest problem of mankind is sin. And the greatest problem with any person is sin. And Jesus is the answer to that problem. Jesus has come. He's laid down his life so that our sin could be forgiven. Now it's January and we go back over things in January. And you remember last week, the top 10 list from last week? We're the only church with 500 baptisms and 230 mullets. You remember that one? My prayer for tonight is that God would reignite our passion to see people who've yet to be healed of the sin that's in their life, and that their sin would be forgiven. Jesus is making another incredible confirmation, because the skeptics, the teachers of the law, they were right when they said only God can forgive sin. They were right to say that. That is true. I cannot forgive sin. I can't do that. Pastor Steve can't do that. We can't forgive your sin. We don't have that power. Only God can do that. In some ways, I think maybe the teachers of the law understood more of what was going on there than anybody else. And Jesus, in this incredible passage, acknowledges that they are right, that only God can forgive sin. And Jesus is making a claim about himself in Mark chapter 2, that he is God. Now, I've been preaching at Hillview almost 5 years. And one of the comments, I don't want to say that gets me in trouble, but one of the comments that I make that troubles people is when I say Jesus was not only the Son of God, Jesus is God. And his being fully man qualified him to be a human sacrifice for our sin. But his being fully God allowed for our sin to be atoned because of what he did. Jesus is affirming what the skeptics are saying, that only God can forgive sin, and Jesus can forgive sin. Now that's a powerful claim. If you're here tonight, I want to encourage you. If you're here tonight and you know you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you. Because sitting in this room tonight is just a bunch of sinners. Okay? And you may be sitting there thinking, "Yeah, but you don't know what I've done." Yeah, but I know what some of these people have done. Trust me, you're fine. Now, here's what I mean by that. I don't mean you're fine the way you are. I mean there's nothing you've done that Jesus cannot forgive. And he's the only hope that you have. Two things for tonight. Keith, you can come. Two things for tonight. One is, I pray that God reignites our passion to see people saved. I want to tell you something about Hillview that's really cool. We got a group of folks at our church, and they literally believe that all they have to do is get their lost friends here and they will be saved. Now, theologically, I want you to know that's not how it happens. It's not coming in to this place. But I've never been able to teach this group otherwise, because every time they bring a friend, they get saved. And they're at the altar and they're looking for me. Told you, Pastor Jamie. I told you. They're here right now and they're praying. But here's the real deal that I'm trying to help this group understand. You know what these people do all week long? They share Jesus with their friends. And when their friends go through hard times, they're there for them. And I mean, because listen, a lot of you go to church on some kind of regular basis, and you expect that if you go to the hospital or you have a hard time, you might expect that somebody's going to call you or somebody's going to be there for you. What if that's not your life? I mean, what if you're not a part of a church and you hit a tough time, you know? But then there's these couple of friends, and how they're different from the other friends is these friends say that they know Jesus. Which is weird when they say that if you're not a Christian. I know Jesus. And you're like, well, man, tell me about him. But that's the deal. This group of people, they're sharing their faith with their friends. And I want to encourage you, even in this story, we don't know much about the guys that brought the paralytic. We don't know if they were related, if they were friends. We're not sure exactly what the relationship is. We don't know how long the relationship was. And let's be honest, we don't even know the desire of the hearts of the friends. Because they may have just brought him so that Jesus would let him walk. We don't know why they brought him, but here's what we know. For whatever they were thinking, they knew whatever this guy's problem was, Jesus was the answer. And so they took this paralytic to the only person they knew that could do anything about it. Let me help you, and why we are no different than those friends. Because anybody that I know that's having a difficult time or going through tough things, Jesus is the only hope they have. And people have learned here, you can bring your friends to your pastor, and it's a crapshoot. It may or may not do anything, right? Because they need Jesus. They need Jesus. And that's what Mark chapter 2 teaches us. So let's take them to Jesus. And I know that's kind of awkward. I know you're thinking right now, and maybe you're thinking of your setting. How many of you watch The Office? Never mind, nobody. Okay. I'm the only sinner in the room. Okay, I watch The Office, and I think about, what if you worked in that office? You know, think about an episode of The Office where somebody starts talking about Jesus. How are people going to feel about that? Maybe you're at the factory, and the guy next to you, or the gal next to you, starts talking about how Jesus has changed your life. Isn't that going to be a little weird? Probably. And so if your goal in this life is for everybody to like you, good luck. But I believe God has given us this one life to live for His glory. We need to take those people to Jesus, because He's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can heal. And if you're here tonight, and maybe you're a skeptic, maybe you're like, man, I'm checking this out, I just don't know. I just want to encourage you. If you're that skeptic or that person's here tonight, I would just ask you a couple basic questions. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever done anything wrong? And you might be sitting there thinking, Well, all of us have. The Bible teaches that nobody's exempt from that. A lot of people think that the guys that are pastors are just the holiest guys. And you're partially right. That's a joke. Well, I know. It was a real serious moment, and then I did that. We are all sinners. All of us are. Every person in this room has done something that they wonder, could God really forgive that? Every one of us. So if you're sitting there and you're not a follower of Jesus and you're thinking that, you're in a room full of people that thought that. Can Jesus really forgive me? Would Jesus really love me? And the answer is unequivocally yes. Yes. He loves you. And He can forgive you, and He will forgive you. And I'd invite you, here's what we do. We just have a time of altar, and there'll be some folks just coming to pray. I wish that more of you on Wednesday night would come to the altar and pray. I always say that, and I'm saying it again. I wish you'd just come and pray. And so there'll be people coming up here. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe something tonight that's been said in a skit or through a song or the message, maybe God used that to kind of prick your heart. I just ask you to come to the altar. There'll be pastors here. We'd love to talk with you. And for the rest of us, it's the beginning of a new year. And it's another year. And I don't know about you all, but there were some people in my life in 2008 that aren't going to be in 2009. They're not here. And 2009 holds nothing different than 2008. There are people that are going to be in 2009 and not going to be 2010. And I want us to reignite. I want our passion to be reignited in sharing the gospel with people, sharing Jesus with them. They took the paralytic to Jesus because nobody else could do anything. And you and I need to learn that tonight. If you're a follower of Jesus, we need to learn that tonight. That Jesus is the only hope. He's the only hope. And we need to be faithful in sharing that. And so I'd ask you to even begin to pray, Lord, how will you use me in 2009? How will you use me to share this hope? To share the hope that I experienced because of you? How many of you had somebody who was faithful to share Jesus with you? We talked about this last Wednesday. How many of you had somebody that shared Jesus with you? Raise your hand. And so we give it away. And we carry that on. And we share with others. And we're faithful. And some of them are going to think you're weird. They already do. Right? Some of them are going to think you're different. That's all right. They already do. Because here's what I found. The people that thought I was some kind of weird guy, when times got tough, things changed. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for the hope and the glory that we have because of you. And I thank you that you confirmed the claim that was made about you, that you, Jesus, are indeed God. And you came to this earth and you died a brutal death on a cross, and yet God, your Father, raised you up 3 days later to his glory so that our sin could be forgiven. So I pray for each person here tonight that is a follower of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for them that they would be faithful in sharing it with others as others were faithful in sharing it with them. I pray for skeptics. And Lord, I thank you that you love skeptics. And I thank you, Lord, that you continue to prove yourself over and over again. And even now tonight, Lord, we pray that somebody would receive the gift of salvation that you offer, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you would save some here tonight. So, Lord, we love you. And as we look to a whole year ahead of us in 2009, Lord, I pray that each of us would say, Lord, we want this year to be lived for your glory, for your honor, for your name and your renown. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.